بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 13th of August in the year 2016 alhamdulillah spent a session last night in which I was mentioning various blessed reports with regards to one's parents and also I went on to mention a few narrations with regards to the blessings of having daughters. So with regards to the female folk in general, there's many warnings from our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For instance, in Kanzul Umal 16-283, Mirqat 10-40, Sayyidina Mu'ad radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protect yourselves from the mischief of women. For Iblis is a wise hunter, and he hunts successfully through women. Protect yourselves from the mischief of women. For Iblis is a wise hunter, and he hunts successfully through women. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you have to protect yourselves, i.e. shield yourselves from the fitna of women. And then he said something very interesting. Shaitan, he uses them. Because he's a wise hunter. The Quran says he's daif, meaning he's weak. But in hunting, the Prophet said he's wise, meaning he's got experience. And he uses women to trap you. So the Prophet said he's very successful through this. And obviously, you just have to look at the statistics and the history. Many great people have fallen through women. Similarly, in Tabarani in his Kabir 9-149, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Ithm, sins, sway the hearts, and shaitan has high hopes of the eye which is raised to look at a non-mahram. Al-Ithm, sins, sway the hearts, and shaitan has high hopes of the eye which is raised to look at a non-mahram. So this is how he hunts. He whispers to you to have a look. And once you look, it gives him great encouragement, shaitan. Because I've got him. Because I've made him look. And he goes, this is the first step towards the disaster to follow. In another famous report, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hadithi kudsi, gazing at a non-mahram is one of the poisoned arrows of shaitan. Whoever will leave it out of fear of me, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will bless him with such an iman, the sweetness of which he will feel in his heart. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gazing at a non-mahram is one of the poisoned arrows of shaitan. Whoever will leave it out of fear of me, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will bless him with such an iman, the sweetness of which he will feel in his heart. This is in Hakim in his Musnadrak 4-349, Tabarani in his Kabir 10-173. That is very interesting. What did the Prophet say has happened? It's a dart of shaitan, but it's poisoned. Now why is that such a beautiful answer? Because poison works slowly. So the look is the poison, is into your system now. And what do people say? I can't get the woman out of my mind. Because there's a poison now. But then Allah the Almighty and Glorious, this shows He knows you better than yourself. Because He's speaking directly to you. He didn't even leave the Prophet. You know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's speaking direct. He's saying, if you leave it because of fear of me, I will bless him. Now think about this. Will Allah Ta'ala break this promise? I will bless him with such an iman, the sweetness of which he will feel in his heart. Meaning, it's a very, very shortcut to a very strong iman. If somebody says to you, I want a shortcut to have the iman of a giant, you say, stop looking at the women. Then he goes, that it? I say, brother, no, you've said it, that's it. But is it easy? And then the person goes, well, I just have to control my eyes. With each passing of time, it gets easier to commit this sin. Before you had to look, now you've got devices. Now think about that. That's the deal that Allah is telling you. I'm not going to break my part of the bargain. If you want an immense iman, that you will feel the sweetness, turn your eyes away. Otherwise the poison will have an effect. Think about that. Similarly, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ahmad in his Musnad 36-610, a Muslim who mistakenly sees the beauty of a woman and then lowers his gaze instead of looking at her continuously will then be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such worship, the sweetness of which he will clearly feel. Different report. Now it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the Prophet speaking now. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you look at a woman and she's been blessed with beauty. Immediately you turn your eye away. Immediately. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what's the reward? He goes, you will start offering your ibadat and you'll start tasting the ibadat. Now think about this. People always mourn about these two things. Because my iman is weak and my worship is mechanical. And if you even say to them, stop looking at women, what's their response? They will say, what's that going to do with you? I'm praying five times, I'm reading Quran. Because these are the things that cause those problems. So if you turn your eyes away from the woman, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with a very strong iman. You'll taste it. And your worship, you will actually taste your worship. And this is why people per se have this problem. Because we can't taste the sweetness of iman. Now look how interesting. If you take it out of Islam and put it into another field, a person will do it. For instance, if a person said to you, he asks you to do something, which is very easy for you to do, very difficult for you to stop, but he offers you a suitcase of money. Because if you do it, and you keep your word, you can take everything in this, here look, 50 pound notes, what was he going to do straight away? Right? Because he knows the bargain. And he goes, and you probably say, are you telling me the truth? You say, yes, I'm absolutely telling you the truth. Look, witnesses are here. And if you keep your end of the bargain, he goes, there you go, take the suitcase. Another example. People go to the gym, and you see them sweating, grunting, groaning. Why? There's an objective. You know, a person goes to the gym, he goes, I want to get abs. How much effort does it take to get abs? I want to build my chest. I want to build my arms. I want to, you know, generally, it takes effort. Imagine you say to that person, well, forget about grunting and groaning. I know a shortcut. If you do this shortcut, you'd have the complete package. Imagine you had that ability. Would he, whatever you tell him to do, would he not do it? Because he knows the bargain. And that's the tragedy. For the sake of the body, a person would do it. For the sake of money, he'd do it. But when Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger speak, he's not doing it. Think about that, innit? Right? So this is why Muslims generally are suffering. What's interesting, did the Prophet ever reverse that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he ever say to women, control your eyes? Because the weakness is the men. He honors the women. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, therefore, the opposite is also true. You lose the sweetness of iman and your worship if you indulge in this. And shaitan, why? Think about that. Go back to the first report. He's a wise hunter. He wants to destroy your worship. If he can't stop you from worshipping, he wants to destroy it. He goes, I'm going to make him feel like he's not getting anything. So what's he going to do? He's going to make avenues open so you can look at women. As soon as you look at women, he goes, that's it. It's all going to be mechanical now. He's not going to taste anything. And that's how it works. But alhamdulillah, we've been given knowledge. Right? And if you don't believe this, think about that. That's a problem now with your iman. Right? So this is important. Yes, it's difficult, but the price is great. Tell the people that. I'm not saying it's easy. But the price is great. Sheikh Zulfiqar, where is this record? Hafiz al-Ajluni in his Kashaf al-Khifa, he states, there was a goldsmith whose wife was very beautiful and of good character. So this man, he sold gold for a living. His wife was beautiful, beautiful character. One day when the goldsmith returned from his shop to his dwelling, he saw his wife weeping. He goes, what's the matter? She replied, this servant of ours, who we have raised since he was a child, has turned out to be so treacherous that when he returned home with some vegetables, he grabbed my hand. And I sensed passion in his heart. Such disloyalty and unfaithfulness. That's why she was weeping. He goes, this servant, we brought him up, and he held my hand, but I could feel he had passion. Hearing this, tears welled up in the goldsmith's eyes, and he also began to weep. So his wife was confused. He goes, why are you weeping? He replied, this is a punishment because of my behavior. Because today, a lady came to buy some gold bracelets, and she asked me to put them on for her. I found her hands very attractive, and I pressed them with passion. Hence, this is the result. You reap what you sow. Astaghfirullah. Look how amazing. On the earth it happened. So he's a goldsmith. Women, obviously, their weakness is the red and yellow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, red and yellow. That's what distracts women. That means the clothes and the gold. You take them in, and this is not to insult them. This is just their nature. You take them to a clothes shop. How difficult is it to get them out of there? And goldsmiths, you might as well start doing Quran khatam outside, right? So he looks at the woman's hands and he goes, I found them attractive. Look what he did. He just put the, but then that little touch he got, that pleasure. What happened at home? His servant did the same to his wife. He goes, I've been punished. Allah Ta'ala took it immediately to account, because nothing's beyond his sight. Think about that. Allah ya'alamu man khalaq wa huwa al-latiful khabir. He is the subtle, he is the aware. He knows everything. And immediately he did this to this man. So note, these are reports. If this was not all. Now this is something that people have said to me. Astaghfirullah. Hafiz al-Ajluni in his Kashif al-Khifa, our beloved messenger, he said, he warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not initiate adultery, for you will then be deprived from the pleasures of lovemaking with your wife. Adopt chastity, and your women will remain chaste. Such and such community indulge in adultery. Consequently, their women too became adulteresses. Allahu Akbar. Three amazing things the Prophet mentioned. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, if you initiate adultery, you start fulfilling your desires from the haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will not enjoy intimacy with your wife. And don't people say that? Because, oh brother, I've been a player. They call themselves players. I don't know what's going on there, right? I've been a player, me. And now, I don't know, I don't get enjoyment. You just say, Saddaqta ya Rasulullah. The Prophet spoke the truth. You have to do tawbah. You have to turn your eyes away from women. You have to get that poison out of your system. Then you'll enjoy your wife. And they say that. He goes, I get more, and even say it, because I get more enjoyment with other women. Well, there you go. Who's prompting that? There's a poison in your system. And the Prophet said it. You're deprived of it now. Secondly, if you become pure, the Prophet goes, your women will become pure. People always worry about their female folk. Wonder what they're up to, what they're doing, this, that. Forget about that. What are you doing? Right? If you're doing left, right, and center, your family's blown it. If you adopt chastity, the Prophet promised, your women will become pure. Then he said something even more amazing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such and such community, imagine, community, indulge in adultery. And what happened? Their women became adulteresses. Now, what do you notice on a wide scale in the Muslim Ummah? This is happening. Why? Because the revelation is telling you. But first of all, you need to know this. People don't know these reports. You know, they're talking about leather socks, right? You know, and discussing fiqh on that. And what? Let's talk about the major issues in it. And this is one of the major issues in our deen. And where either oblivious to it, or even worse, going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consider the pregnant words of Imam Raghib Asfahani, rahmatullah alayh, in his work, Ithaf al-Raghibin, page 244. He said something amazing, the Shaykh. Every nation that has inculcated ghira, modesty, in its men, has then indeed protected its women. Subhanallah. Every nation that has inculcated ghayra modesty in its men has then indeed protected its women. Think about that. Because it doesn't have to be Muslims. If non-Muslims become ghayra, they could become shameful. They go, look, this is bad. We shouldn't be doing this. Allah Ta'ala protects their women, even if they're non-Muslims. But if you become bi ghayra, bi sharam, Allah Ta'ala takes the protection away from the female folk. So think about it, yes, our female folk are running riot, but what's really the reason for that? It's us. You know, easy finding fault with them. Astaghfirullah. Simply put, if men guard their chastity, then Allah the Almighty and Glorious will graciously guard the chastity of their female folk. He promises this. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is that ignoramuses want their female folk to be pure and chaste, whilst they themselves are quite to the contrary. This will never happen. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that complete? They even say, is that one a hijabi? Well, you're a big shaitan. And he goes, no, but you know, she's solid and I need one that's never going to leave the house. And never. And you're thinking, but you're doing what you're doing and you, there you go in a fantasy world. They're living in fantasy world. Right? And then you say, it's never going to happen. If it does happen, I want to see it. Right? And there you go. If you protect your own ghayra, you control your... Look how beautiful. You're controlling your eyes. What's happening? Allah Ta'ala sorted your imana. He sorted your worshipper. He sorted your women. What else do you want? But it's hard to do. Don't start saying it's easy. No, don't start lying to people. Eh? You know, easy controlling your eyes. Eh? No, it's not easy controlling your eyes. Don't lie. Eh? No, you're not all he has. But the price is great. You know, subhanAllah. Indeed, the nur of iman is also taken. If you indulge in this. In Tabarani, in his Kabir 8-2 or 8, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lower your gaze, protect your private parts, otherwise your faces will be eclipsed. SubhanAllah. Lower your gaze, protect your private parts, otherwise your faces will be eclipsed, meaning no nur. Have you ever seen a person indulging with nur? And look how beautiful, eclipse, meaning the sun is there, but the moon has covered it. What's the moon in this scenario? He's looking at the haram. It takes away the nur from the face. In another frightening report, our beloved messenger warned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Fat al-Qadir Nasab al-Raya, on the day of judgment, molten lead will be poured into the eyes of the one who looks at a woman's beauty lustfully. Astaghfirullah. On the day of judgment, molten lead, imagine, molten lead, liquid lead, will be poured into the eyes of the one who looks at a woman's beauty lustfully. I don't even know how that punishment is. You kill the person. But of course, there's no death. That's a punishment. The Prophet mentioned that Allah alayhi salam. If the sight turns to touch, the sin becomes greater. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi salam, in Tabarani, in his Kabir 8-205, it is better for any one of you to be completely covered with mud and then collide with a pig rather than to rub your shoulder with the shoulder of a woman who is not permissible for you. That's a touch. Think about that. The Prophet goes, you touched your shoulder, has touched her shoulder. Imagine how innocent that people are. I say innocent. It's not innocent. You would have been better being covered in mud and colliding with a pig, the Prophet said, Allah alayhi wa sallam said. The touch is worse. And that's why shaking hands, and there's a bit of fiqh on this. The Prophet said, Allah alayhi wa sallam said, it is better for you to be struck with a pickaxe than to touch the hand of a female. That's not lawful. That's a hadith. However, there's a bit of leeway. Why? Because in Sahih, that's in Tabarani, authentic. In Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this woman came and she grabbed the Prophet's hand. And the Prophet goes, you may tell me whatever you wish. Because this woman had a mental issue. But the Prophet, the woman held his hand. He didn't take his hand away. So the ulama said, if there's a need, you can touch the hand of a woman. For instance, you may be going for an interview, job interview. And, you know, the woman sticks her hand out. So then you're going to put your hand back. Oh, I can't touch you. I'm not Muslim. Well, get out. Then you're not going to get the job. Right? So the response there is, Ya Allah, look, this is an interview. I don't want to do this, but I want to try and get this job to get a lawful earning. Then there's a bit of leeway. But you don't initiate it. You don't stick the hand out. Golden handshake, innit? You know, sometimes they don't even put their hand out themselves. And you punish yourself, innit? Astaghfirullah. How beautiful were the words of Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar in his work Harms and Cure for Evil Gazing and Illicit Relationships. When the sun is about to rise, what happens? The eastern horizon becomes red, a sign of sunrise. Similarly, whoever bleeds his heart red in refraining from the impermissible, then this is a sign of the imminent arrival of divine proximity. SubhanAllah. This is also recorded by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi in his work Tranquil Eye, page 122. Simply put, what was the Shaykh mentioning? when you see the redness, what does that mean? The sun is about to rise. Fajr is going to become Gaza, like we say in it. So the redness is a sign of what? That the sun is about to arise. It goes, similarly, if you control yourself from the haram, you bleed your heart red, controlling yourself from the haram, then just as the red signifies the sun is coming, the bleeding the heart from the impermissible desire means that you are very close to being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is going to choose you, going to elevate you. Meaning it's a sign of awliya, walayat, that they control their private parts. So note, everything is explained in our deen. These things aren't probably mentioned because maybe Mawlana's are dabbling in it, astaghfirullah. But you should talk about these things. I'm mentioning it to you, doesn't mean I'm not a'udhu billah. What I'm saying is that you should talk so people know the reports. At the same time, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it makes it, it gives you the tawfiq to do it. You don't make these, some people make some stupid duas. One brother was making this dua, he goes, Ya Allah, give me the strength to control my sight. You have got the strength. Why are you making that dua for? You know, nobody's like forcing you. Look at that woman. Look at, right, you're doing it yourself. Make good duas. You say, Ya Allah, help me. Help me to control myself. Easy in public. You know, you're in a car, two, three brothers. Control your eyes, brothers. Look that woman. Don't look at that woman. Well, why are you doing that? When you're driving by yourself, you have a good look. You know, so why are you giving that impression that you're a big saint? Astaghfirullah. And then what do you notice? When you control your sight, straight away, what do you feel in your heart? Immediately you feel that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel something. You think, Allahu Akbar, so that felt good. There's the gift Allah has promised. You know, subhanAllah. And of course, if you look accidentally, you're forgiven. But you don't have a ogle. You look, you turn your eyes away immediately. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his son-in-law, Ali radiyallahu, because the first look is forgiven, the second isn't. So some people have a good first look. You don't look, you just quick and move your eyes away. But we're living with non-Muslims, isn't it? Imagine, look how much Islam is protecting you from this. And they're doing the complete opposite. They want to make you naked. They sell their products. What do? Put a naked woman there. What are you putting a naked woman there? You're selling a car. No, but sex sells, right? And there you go in a shaitan. Just, in, you know, why destroy the ibadah? Destroy the iman. Right? But if you got to live with them, control yourself, subhanAllah. To conclude, a warning about sexual perversions. Astaghfirullah. In Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 188, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he relates, radiyallahu, in the last era, which we're in, there will be some people who will be called Sodomites, Gandus. Amongst them, there will be three divisions. So these are all Gandus, the Prophet said. Doesn't matter what you think. There's three divisions. One of them would be those who look at the faces of young boys and chat with them to get sexual gratification. Because that's one Gandu. We call them pedophiles, isn't it? But we won't, because he's not done anything. But Islamically, he has. Secondly, they would shake hands with them and embrace them to acquire further gratification. Thirdly, they would have sex with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed all of them. However, those who seek forgiveness, then Allah the Almighty will accept their appeal. They will thus be safe from this curse. So now look how interesting. The Prophet didn't say pedophile. He put them under the category of, sodomite. Sodomite is a homosexual. But they've given it another name, pedophile. Same category. The Prophet's, we don't look at their criteria. We look at the criteria of Islam. And he said, these are all sodomites. One is just looking at them. Imagine, just looking, getting some pleasure from looking at young boys and chatting with them. You're in that category, the Prophet said. Doesn't matter what you didn't touch them. Doesn't matter whether you touch them. There you're in a category. Second category, they go one step, they shake hands and they embrace them. Still, they wouldn't call them now in the West. They'll say, no, he's got a problem, but he's not a pedophile. Unless he actually commits the act. The third, of course, is the one, because Allah Ta'ala has cursed all of them. Think about that. He's cursed all of them. But then if you ask forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is so great, He will forgive you. Meaning the curse will leave you. Think about that. This is why if you look at our history, our ulama would not look at young men. Boys that were becoming men. They didn't have beards. they turn away from them. They be so fearful, thinking, you know, you might get some gratification. Astaghfirullah. Why? Because they like females. There's no beads. Not that they had any desire. Astaghfirullah. As for those wretches who persist until they die, then Sayyidina Waqi, he said, radiyallahu, in Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 188, he who dies whilst practicing sodomy will then be transferred to the region of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his people from his grave. On the day of judgment, he will be amongst them. So if you die as a gandu, you can be buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Allah Ta'ala is not going to leave you there. He's going to take you straight to Qawmi Lut, the overturned cities. And this actually happened. There was a person, I can't remember the reference, and quite a long narration short, he dropped his ring in the grave. He asked the shuyukh, can I go into the grave? He goes, yes. He goes to the grave. The body's not there. He goes, hey, my ring's here. Where's the body? So he's making investigations. He goes, did you bury? He goes, yes, he was buried. Then they made investigations, found out he was a gandu. And one of the chief scholars said, you'll find him in Palestine. Allah Ta'ala has taken his body. He's buried there now. Right? Why? Because the Quran says you will be brought in groups, Zumara. And you will end up under the flag of the gandus on the day of judgment. Imagine, good looking. You know, gay and proud. That will be the time you'll find that, innit? Gay and proud on the day of judgment with that big flag in it, with the rainbow on it. Right? Astaghfirullah. With that dummy in their mouth. You'll catch him. Right? Right? So what do you learn? This is all the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in case you're wondering, why doesn't Allah Ta'ala punish these people now, like he did in the past? Because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made that dua, don't destroy my ummah, like you did the previous ummahs. Allah Ta'ala therefore withholds, though these people are just as deserving. And we seek refuge in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all forms of abomination. Amen. So all I mentioned today was basically with regards to the female folk, but now the dangers. And Alhamdulillah, we've been given guidance. And like I mentioned, simply put, it is difficult to control the sight, but remember the prize is great. Remember the three. Iman, Ibadat, and chastity. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want that, that's the prize given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله رب العالمين وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم